This is Rusty Gaffney, and you're listening to Penal File Live. Today's episode is about the Anderson Valley. This is Volume 6, Issue 60, June 9th, 2008. Well, I found myself a couple weeks ago cruising along Interstate 101, heading for the 11th Annual Anderson Valley Pinot Noir Festival, sponsored by the Anderson Valley Wine Growers Association. I always look forward to this drive because when you leave Highway 101 and you go along the twisting, turning Highway 128 to reach the valley, you seem to leave all the stress of the world behind. You say goodbye to the roadside convenience stores, the roadside McDonald's and Starbucks, and you come into this serene region where you have grassy meadows with sheep and cow grazing, beautiful, majestic oak trees, and it's somehow cleansing. And then 40 minutes later, you're into the valley, and rows of vineyards start to show up on either side of Highway 128. This year was quite unusual because the Anderson Valley, of course, is a Region 1 and Region 2 viticulture area, very cool. But darned if it wasn't 100 degrees both Friday and Saturday of the event. It's not always easy to taste Pinot when it's 100 degrees, but someone had to do it, and I plunged in. This year, Mendocino, and in particular Anderson Valley, has had quite a strange growing season. It started off in April with a couple weeks of severe frost. This, of course, damaged the budding Pinot Noir vines, and there was rather extensive damage. This then was followed by the heat spell in May. So hopefully some secondary growth will develop, and hopefully even though the quantity will be down in 2008, the quality should still be there. There are about 1,128 acres of Pinot Noir in the Anderson Valley. So it is the major Pinot Noir growing area of Mendocino County. It's a very small and narrow valley, relatively isolated, about 16 miles in length. It's bordered on three sides by mountains and is only about 18 miles from the Pacific Ocean at its northern tip. To understand the geography of the Anderson Valley, you have to understand the terminology. The locals call the northern end of the valley, which is the coolest part, cooled by breezes from the Pacific Ocean and fog. They call this the deep end. It's also called down valley. Then the more southerly part of the valley is typically 8 to 10 degrees warmer, and this is referred to as upper valley. They don't use the term up end, however. And basically, Highway 128 bisects the valley, and a majority of the vineyards are located down valley. There are three major towns, and I use the word major laughingly because Boonville is the center of, quote, activity, but really only has a few little restaurants and markets and tasting rooms and one hotel. Well, actually, a couple hotels. Then you have Philo, which has a population of about 1,100 people. And then finally, the most northerly hamlet is Navarro, population 67. It's a great agricultural region. It started out years ago as an apple and pear growing region and has become extremely well known for excellent grapes and excellent wines. The first Pinot Noir, which was planted in the Anderson Valley, was by Tony Hush in 1968. He had actually been exposed to Pinot Noir by John Parducci, who was a pioneering wine grower in the Mendocino County, dating back to 1931. And he planted a small 3-acre vineyard known as the Knoll, located on a hillside overlooking the Navarro River. And this was planted to a Wente selection of Pinot Noir. And Hush went on to make Pinot Noirs. At the time, wine growing was rather crude. Al White, who is the longtime vineyard manager, arrived in 1973. And he can tell some funny stories about early viticulture at Hush. The vines were planted with 8 by 12 foot spacing with overhead irrigation. There was little or no trellising. No leaf pulling was done. There was always a problem with rain at harvest and the threat of mold. The grapes were picked into apple boxes at a very casual pace, usually over several days, by a hippie crew. So you can imagine the Pinot Noirs early on were not what we would call stellar. There are a couple of other people who played a prominent role in Anderson Valley Pinot Noir. One of these was Johann Kobler. He was a San Francisco restaurateur. In 1969, he purchased the 20-acre Lazy Creek Vineyards from the Pinoli family, who had farmed the land since the early 1900s and had the first bonded winery in the valley in 1911. The Pinolis actually had much more success with fruit orchards than their vineyards, but this in part was due to inadequate viticulture knowledge and the planting of wrong selections. Kobler was able to revitalize the vineyards. He built a small winery in 1973 and subsequently had great success with Pinot Noir and Gewürztraminer. Currently, Lazy Creek is owned by Josh and Mary Beth Chandler, and they have carried on the tradition respectively. Ted Bennett and his wife, Deborah Kahn, left the San Francisco Bay Area in 1973 and purchased a 900-acre sheep ranch along Highway 128 between Philo and Navarro. They loved Alsatian grape varieties, and initially all they planted were white varietals, such as Gewürztraminer and Pinot Gris and Sauvignon Blanc and so forth. Pinot Noir came later. And today they farm about 31 acres of Pinot Noir. It was largely Navarro's marketing sense that put Anderson Valley in the minds of wine enthusiasts and brought notoriety to the wines of the region. They built an attractive tasting room, they sent out an informative newsletter, and they developed considerable consumer direct sales and buyer loyalty. They remain one of the most outstanding Anderson Valley wineries, and their three Pinot Noir bottlings, which include an Anderson Valley blend, a Méthode à la Ancienne, and a Deep Inn blend, are all outstanding. Today, there are 27 wineries and more than 60 vineyards in the Anderson Valley. Some of the vineyard names have become household words to pinophiles. These include Cerise, Demuth, Donnelly Creek, Farrington, Hacienda Sequoia, Hine Family, Clint, Morning Dew Ranch, Savoy, Toulouse, and Wiley. I counted at least 28 major California Pinot Noir producers who are outside the Anderson Valley but access grapes from the valley. These include noted producers like Ant Hill Farms, Arista, Adrian Fogg, Barnett, Bonovia, Brogan Cellars, Cake Bread Cellars, Copain Wines, Dane Wines, Ferrari Carano Vineyards and Winery, Fulcrum Wines, Griffon Wines, Hartford Family Wines, Harrington, Itchy La Basse, La Crema, Literai, McPhail, Madrigal Vineyards, Radio Coteau, Roessler Cellars, Saintsbury, Skewis, Whitcraft, Whitethorn, William Salem, and Woodenhead Vinters. Most of the vineyards are less than 10 acres. They're basically three large growers, Roederer Estate, the sparkling wine producers, GoldenEye, and Navarro. Pinot Noir now accounts for more than 50% of Anderson Valley's planted vineyard acreage. And despite the fact that the quality of Pinot Noir grapes are outstanding from Anderson Valley, the average price per ton still lags other prominent California appellations. Now, the Anderson Valley Pinot Noir Festival is a three-day event. It began actually 15 years ago with winery open houses, but was formalized into a festival in 1997. The popularity of the festival has paralleled the rise in popularity of Pinot Noir, and then this year the event was completely sold out with 750 people attending. On Friday, a technical conference is held at the Mendocino County Fairgrounds, and for me, the most outstanding talk was by John Winthrop Hager, the author of North American Pinot Noir and the soon-to-be-released sequel, Pacific Pinot Noir. And I just love to hear John talk. He's very humorous, very laid back, but at the same time, very academic. And I can't imagine anybody in the world who knows more about Pinot Noir than John. His talk was basically titled Evermore Pinot, but Still Not Very Much, and Oodles of Clones. But he really talked about this subject through the top 10 reasons to love or hate Pinot Noir. So here they are. These are John's top 10 reasons to love or hate Pinot. Number 10, Pinot Noir remains the most lightly planted grape varietal in the world. It's low-yielding, small-berried, thin-skinned, and disease-sensitive. Good reason to hate it. Number 9, if Pinot Noir is mistreated, it will retaliate. Meaning, if you don't handle it correctly in the vineyard and in the winery, it won't give you what you want. Another reason to hate it. Number 8, Pinot Noir is hard not to love, as some of its children are sweet and successful. There are at least 16 offspring varieties, including Melon and Aligoté. Number 7, Pinot Noir smells or tastes like almost everything, good and bad. It mimics everything on the aroma wheel. I think this is a good reason to love it. Number 6, Pinot Noir attracts more purple pros than any other variety. If you've read The Pinot File, you certainly know that this statement is true. Number 5, Pinot Noir befuddles critics. Nobody knows what it's supposed to taste like. Number 4, finally, more and more is being planted. But there still isn't very much. There are widespread reports that a new two-buck chuck Pinot Noir will come from Corsica, of all places. Plantings have increased in Germany and in Switzerland, and there has been a doubling of Pinot Noir plantings in Germany in the last 20 years and close to a doubling in Switzerland. There's also been a marked increase in Pinot Noir acreage in New Zealand. Number 3, there still isn't a lot of Pinot Noir. 38,000 acres in North America and 160,000 acres worldwide. This is minuscule compared to the worldwide acres of wine, which is 6,400,000. Pinot Noir makes up 2% of the worldwide wine grape vineyard area and about 1.1% of the worldwide wine production. Wow. Number 2. If you love Pinot, which Pinot? Now, this is where it gets interesting. All Pinot Noir came from a common source, that is, one alpha vine, either a domesticated wild vine or a wild vine crossed with a previously domesticated vine or a neutral crossing of two previously domesticated varieties or a lab crossing of two varieties. You choose. Pinot Noir first showed up in southeast France, but we're not certain if it was Burgundy. Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc, and Pinot Meunier are color mutations of Pinot Noir, not offspring. They all have the same parentage. John likes to point out that clone speak can make you nuts when you're talking about Pinot Noir. It is a, quote, jungle of alphanumeric shorthand. There are more than 800 clones of Pinot Noir in conservatory collections in France. Of those, 43 are approved, and 31 of the 43 are widely distributed. At least 21 of the 43 have UCD numbers. Eventually, all clones will be doomed to further mutation because Pinot Noir vines tend to mutate, and the puzzle will continue to become more muddled and confusing. And John has made up a beautiful flow chart, which he displayed at the event, which shows where all the different Pinot Noir clones have come from and how they've interacted and mutated and blah, blah, blah. It's very, very complicated, but it'll become clear to you if you buy his new book and look at the chart yourself. Despite all the interest and emphasis on Pinot Noir clones, it's clear that sight trumps clonal selection. And finally, the number one reason to love or hate Pinot Noir: people who make Pinot Noir are on the lunatic fringe. Enough said. Well, on Sunday, I spent a few hours in a tent at Golden Eye Vineyards, tasting the latest Pinot Noir releases from about 40 Anderson Valley producers. I must say that I came away quite impressed. Let's face it, we're in the golden age of Pinot Noir. I mean, people know how to farm it, people know how to make it, and now it's really a matter of people, that is the consumer, choosing the style, the producer they like, the people they like, the region they like, because all regions in California and Oregon now are producing outstanding Pinot Noir. And the wines from Anderson Valley are no exception. There are a multiplicity of styles, ranging from wines that are very forward and drinkable upon release to ones that need years to uncover deep-seated complexities that lie within. There basically is something for everyone in the Anderson Valley. The thing I like about the wines, most of them are very reasonably priced. By reasonably priced, I'm talking low 20s. To mid to high 20s for a lot of the wines. Now, the wines are made in small quantities, as is the case for Pinot Noir, and a lot of the smaller wineries don't get their wines out of the valley, or they are not distributed very far, but the wines are available on winery websites, and I encourage you to visit the websites. I encourage you to visit the Anderson Valley Wine Growers Association website, avwines.com, where you'll find a map and a listing of all the wineries. And sample some of the wines. Try them. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Now, unfortunately, because of the heat, as you know, alcohol tends to have a dehydrating effect on you as it is. And then if you compound that with 100-degree temperatures, you can understand how dehydrated and difficult it is to keep tasting wine. Heck, I went through, I think I went through 8 or 10 bottles of water at the event over a couple hours, and I didn't have to pee once. So I didn't get to taste everything, but from what I did taste, these were some wines that really stood out. Black Kite is a small producer from a single estate vineyard in the deep end of the Anderson Valley. And I should say, in qualifying, that all of the wines mentioned here, unless I designate otherwise, are 2006 vintage. Claudia Springs, Clint Vineyard Reserve. Robert Clint is a longtime winemaker in the Anderson Valley. Well-respected, very talented, also makes the wines for Harmonique, which is another excellent Anderson Valley label. Jason Drew purchased some land and a small winery and is building planting a vineyard up in Elk in the higher mountains of the Anderson Valley, and his Fog Eater Pinot Noir is quite good. Mary Elke is a longtime grape grower, and she farms the Donnelly Creek Vineyard in the Anderson Valley, and her Blue Diamond Elke Donnelly Creek Pinot Noir is a Burgundian-styled wine that you can count on every vintage. Esterlina is a label owned by the Sterling family, who own quite a few vineyards not only the one in Anderson Valley, but also in other parts of Mendocino and even Russian River. The Sterling boys, and there are several of them, managed the winery. Eric Sterling, who's a physician, an emergency room physician in Santa Rosa, is also the winemaker. And both their regular and reserve Pinot Noirs are outstanding. Hanley, of course, is one of the longtime respected producers. Mia Hanley is one of the few in the business in which she is a woman who owns a winery and is also the winemaker. She really is one of the people who brought sustainable agriculture to the Anderson Valley, and her wines are always well received. And I can recommend her, all of her Pinot Noirs. A new producer in the Anderson Valley is Jim Ball Vineyards. Jim's an attorney from Chicago who fell in love with Northern California and in particular Anderson Valley years ago. He now has the financial resources to purchase land, which he did across from Goldeneye on Highway 128. He's developing a winery and a vineyard. He's actually developing a second vineyard in Anderson Valley as well. And he was pouring his inaugural signature Pinot Noir release from the Anderson Valley. And I must say, I was very, very impressed. His winemaker is Greg La Follette, the veteran. He's brought in very talented viticulture people. This is a winery that is one to watch for the future. The first 06 vintage is now available on the winery website, and this would be a winery mailing list to get on. Larry Launder, a buddy of mine because he's an ophthalmologist, retired, much like I am, from Albuquerque, who started Launder Vineyards a number of years ago with several business partners. And his original winemaker, Greg La Follette, did a very credible job getting the winery going. And now Greg's protege, Richard Davis, has taken over and is doing an outstanding job. And all of the Launder 06 vintage wines are recommended. Navarro, I've already talked about. A small winery, which you probably haven't heard of, called Phillips Hill Estate, crafts two Pinot Noirs, both of which are highly recommended. The Openlander Vineyard from Comtachi, that's actually an area just north of the Anderson Valley in Mendocino County. And the second bottling is from Toulouse Vineyard in the Anderson Valley. I was really taken by these wines. I even purchased some myself when I came back from the event. And finally, in the valley, Zena Hyde Cunningham, which has a tasting room across from the Boonville Hotel. We're pouring their 05 and 05 Reserve. Excellent Pinots. Very drinkable, very approachable, perfect drinking window now. There were a number of other producers who I've tasted Anderson Valley wines from over the last several weeks. And among the ones I tasted, these are the ones I would recommend. Anthill Cellars, they bottle several wines from Anderson Valley, including a DeMuth Vineyard and Savoy Vineyard. Ferrari Carano has gotten into the Pinot Noir game, and they bottle a Anderson Valley Pinot Noir from their estate, Sky High Ranch. Fulcrum Wines is a small producer producing their first wine in 2006 at Crush Pad and sourcing grapes from Anderson Valley. Beautiful packaging and an excellent wine. La Crema makes an Appellation Anderson Valley Pinot Noir. La Crema, you really can't go wrong with. All of their wines are consistently good year in and year out. Litterai, Ted Lemon, of course, is as you know, if you read the Pinot Noir, one of my favorite winemakers, and some of the greatest California Pinot Noir I've had is come from Litterai. And I think the peach, the cream, the best vineyard that Ted makes Pinot from is Savoy. Cerise is also worth a look. And finally, Woodenhead. accesses grapes from Burt Williams' Morning Dew Ranch Vineyard in the Anderson Valley. And this was, the 06 vintage was one of the best wines I tasted at the event. At 13.6 alcohol, it's easy to drink, and you can drink a little more of it. So that's the story on Anderson Valley. Email me if you need any advice about what wineries to visit or how to visit or how to contact them or where to stay. Really, not many people think about Anderson Valley, but I would get there and I'd meet the people and taste the wines, and I think you'll love the place.